The Lord be with you. Our chapel speaker this morning is Caleb Sutherland. Caleb is a 2012 graduate of St. Olaf College. He is the coordinator of the International Leaders Program of the ELCA Churchwide Office. This morning, we will be praying for those in California who've been affected by such devastating wildfires. Let us pray. God of creation, in the past few weeks, we've experienced again and again the devastating power of water, wind, and fire. Today we lift up those in California who are battling wildfires. Grant endurance to firefighters. Grant the power and promise of the resurrection to all who grieve. And for those who have lost homes and jobs and schools, may your presence and your vision for the future provide hope. Amen.
A reading from the poetry of John O'Donohue. For citizenship. In these times when anger is turned into anxiety and someone has stolen the horizons and mountains, our small emperors on parade never expect our indifference to disturb their nakedness. They keep their heads down and their eyes gleam with reflection from aluminum economic ground. The media wraps everything in a cellophane of sound, and the ghost surface of the virtual overlays the breathing earth. The industry of distraction makes us forget that we live in a universe. We have become converts to the religion of stress and its deity of progress, that we may have courage to turn aside from it all and come to kneel down before the poor, to discover what we must do, how to turn anxiety back into anger, how to find our way home. First things first, I have to admit that I've kind of been agonizing for a while over what I should say during this talk. Pro tip, as it turns out, watching TED Talks with 47 million views and then J.K. Rowling's iconic Harvard commencement address will not help you set a realistic standard for yourself when composing a speech. Nonetheless, here we are, you and me, hoping to somehow distill something fresh from the 500-year-old inheritance we now call the Protestant Reformation. It's a complex task, and one that millions of inheritors of the Reformed traditions are working through in earnest this year, from Argentina to Zimbabwe and almost everywhere in between. Where do we even start, particularly those of us who don't have PhDs in church history, world religions, or Lutheran theology? Though I imagine there could be a few of those in this room, much to my terror as your speaker. The good news is this. As I see it, the spirit of the Reformers is on the side of us amateurs. Here's why. As they responded to the rigid hierarchies of institutional church, the Reformers wove a vision of the sacred that found a home in the secular. A divinity no longer hidden away in the vaulted halls of cathedrals, convents, and monasteries. The privilege of claiming a calling in life was no longer reserved for the ranks of professional practitioners of religion, but was now available to the baker and tailor and merchant and farmer. What's more, the tools for exploring that calling were being rapidly democratized as technology and translation opened the door to literacy, study and interpretation of sacred texts, and eventually the impetus toward universal education. I'd venture to say that YouTube, Khan Academy, and iTunes University owe a debt of gratitude to the 16th century reformers, some of the first designers of open source learning. Rigid control over the means and ends of intellectual exploration was losing its grip. The priesthood of all believers was prying open the doors that kept knowledge and power in the hands of the select few. Exclusivity was questioned. Access was now the name of the game. And in fact, it's this very feature of the complex phenomenon we call Reformation that I'd like to explore today, access. Frankly, thinking about access is what keeps me up at night. In my professional life, I work with a team that builds globally informed leadership capacity through scholarships and educational programming. all through the international partnerships in which the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America participates. What this means concretely is that we support a large network of international students studying around the world in a wide range of subjects and at all levels of formal and informal education. We're in the business of building access. Our goal is to chip away at the barriers that keep certain people from certain types of educational experiences. We examine the complex power and privilege structures that centralize knowledge and credentials in certain corners of the world and leave others behind. Our job is to probe the thorny reality of inequity in access to education and to propose ways through it and around it. We leverage partnerships and connect people with resources and with each other. We dare to dream along the contours of the reformer's vision, to claim a world where democratized knowledge and the power that accompanies it are the purview of all people. Simply put, we believe access can change the world. As you might have guessed, this is easier said than done. We haven't quite figured it out during the last 500 years, but we're determined that it won't take 500 more. In 2015, the United Nations member states adopted an ambitious global agenda called the Sustainable Development Goals. With a target completion date of 2030, the goals, quote, call for action by all countries to promote prosperity while protecting the planet. They recognize that enduring poverty must go hand in hand. They recognize that ending poverty must go hand in hand with strategies that build economic growth and address a range of social needs, including education, health, social protection, and job opportunities, while tackling climate change and environmental protection, end quote. The Sustainable Development Goals, just like your liberal arts education here at St. Olaf, remind us that the most significant inequities of the world are deeply intersectional. The uneven distribution of prosperity in the world in any sector can be easily correlated with identities that have been marginalized in society's dominant narratives. We know that wealth, race, ethnicity, nationality, caste, gender identity, ability, sexual orientation, immigration status, and other identities directly relate to access to healthcare, employment, decision-making, political influence, education, safety from violence, protection from natural disasters, and other basic human rights. In other words, the business of access is complex, and historically privileged populations have stacked the deck of the global economy in favor of the status quo. Achieving the Sustainable Development Goals will take the coordinated work of both government and civil society, along with resource investment at unprecedented levels. It will also take grit and innovation, a global tribe of laser-focused social entrepreneurs who are willing to test the hypotheses that will ultimately become solutions to the world's most persistent and intersectional injustices. In our little corner of the world, our team has positioned ourselves to chip away at just one of these complicated intersections, gender and education. Specifically, we claim Sustainable Development Goals 4 and 5, which set targets for ending disparities in education at all levels and eliminating gender-based violence and discrimination in all sectors. We know both statistically and anecdotally that access to educational experiences are significantly less for women and girls as compared to men and boys in many parts of the world. Although most countries have now reached gender parity in primary education, the gender gap grows at the secondary and post-secondary levels. Only 30% of the world's researchers in the sciences are women, according to the United Nations. More women pursuing education at any level is one of the biggest predictors of economic stability in a community, and women multiply the stabilizing impact of education for their families at a higher rate than men. And although the U.S. has generally achieved gender parity in post-secondary education, women still earn, on average, around 83% of what men earn for the same work, with the percentage decreasing drastically for women of color and trans women. In our own scholarship program, less than a third of applicants over the history of the program had been women as of 3 years ago. The doors of access to education and the resulting stability do not open equally for all people, even in faith communities. So what's the solution? Surely they are many and varied and require the investment of capital, political will, and dedicated minds. Our team is exploring this question daily. We strive to design new approaches to education and capacity building that multiply access rather than centralizing it. One of the most promising solutions we've discovered involves you, St. Olaf. About 3 years ago, through the bold support of visionary individual and organizational donors, the ELCA launched the International Women Leaders Initiative. This new program is rooted in the soil of powerful partnerships between other church bodies around the world and our excellent network of ELCA colleges and universities, of which St. Olaf is a part. Together, these partners are working alongside young women leaders from around the world who come to pursue degrees at ELCA schools and bring with them the gifts of their context and expertise. In just 3 years, we've grown our scholarship community from being one-third women to now being well over half. A growing cohort of powerful and inspiring women from around the world are enriching the narratives of our ELCA institutions. They are taking up the torch of reformers like Katharina von Bora and Argula von Grubach. They study everything from management to social work. They advocate for gender justice here and in their home countries at the United Nations. They meet with U.S. lawmakers to demand just immigration and educational policies. They work alongside HIV clinics and senior service centers and accounting firms. They catalyze the transformative alchemy that happens when different lived realities come into conversation with one another. They carry the stories of their families and home churches, and they write the story of a future where access is the norm and not the exception. They create access for their communities at home and on campus, and they're right here among you. Just this fall, we proudly welcomed our first International Women Leaders Scholar to St. Olaf, and we know that Marina is already enriching this community. She and the other 270 international students on campus this year are some of the greatest assets that this already gifted place has to offer. To our treasured international students, know that you make this campus better and you make this country better. You give this community access to the world outside these walls, to a more thoughtful and generous vision of this global home we all share. So here we are, 500 years later, heirs of a tradition that compels us and of a world that requires our action. So it falls to us to take seriously the vision of the Reformation forebears, the spark of the divine mystery present in each human, our birthright, and our claim to dignity and equity. When we see this spark in one another, we see abundance rather than scarcity. We lay bare the systems that ignore the spark and deny access to the abundance of earth and human potential. We proclaim the ability of all people to access truth through the diversity of religious and spiritual expression. We affirm the right to access clean water, safe neighborhoods, living wages, and reproductive health services. We uphold the ancient claim of access to homelands for those whose land we now occupy. We demand access to political and legal agency for those who flee violence and those who are threatened by unjust deportation. We claim access to political voice, to government that represents all people and not just the 1%. We cry out for access to a world without racism, xenophobia, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, ableism, and all other forms of oppression. And in this context, I ask you, how are you building access? How are you using your power to create a world of open doors, a world the reformers only imagined? Because none of us will have full access to our best selves and our best world until everyone can claim the tools it takes to get there. We simply cannot afford to deny access to the collective human search for meaning, dignity, and peace. It takes all of us.
May our God of great grace and great love bless you this day and always. Amen.